Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You want to see loco?
I like to start a Monday show, Solana. Oh, Casey and the Sunshine Band. Where'd you pull that out of?
Just feeling my Miami side today, you know?
All right. Hialeah, Miami Lakes. That's where Casey's from. A lot of people don't know that. All right, Hockman and Crowder show on a Monday.
I thought he was from Broward.
Wow. No. He's from, pretty sure, Hialeah.
Hialeah, yes.
Yeah, Hialeah. You hear Alex Dono there, filling in for Crowder here on this Loco Hour on a Monday. This hour brought to you by Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores, truly steps beyond convenient. Well, we knew Cam Newton was going to end up in New England, didn't we?
I'm not sure I did.
I knew it. Dono, there was only one, you knew that Bill Belichick was not satisfied with Jarrett Stidham as much as he went on and on about how great he is. And, you know, you knew that that wasn't the case. And I found it very Patriots-like that they announced it, almost moments before the league announced what New England's punishment was for the videotaping scandal, which, by the way, the videotaping scandal ends up costing them less than signing Cam Newton. But yeah, I knew that you knew. Well, I shouldn't say that it was Cam. I had a pretty good feeling it'd be Cam Newton, but you knew New England was going to have some quarterback other than Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer. Like, you knew that they were going to go into the season with a better quarterback. And so now Cam Newton's in New England. And how do you feel as a Dolphins fan?
It sucks, but I'll tell you, you're right. The only thing really shocking to me about this, and I guess maybe it shouldn't be considering his recent injury trouble, but the bargain that they got for him. I mean, to bring in a guy who won MVP of the league 5 years ago for 1 year with, if he hits all the incentives, $7.5 million max. Like, $7.5 million max if he hits all the incentives is what you're paying to have Cam Newton for a season on the what they call a prove-it deal. I mean, that to me is really impressive. Like, there are a lot of very average quarterbacks getting paid 2-3 times what Cam Newton is about to get paid to play for Bill Belichick. That part is disgusting to me.
But he has missed, what, 16 games in the last two seasons?
He's
been very unhealthy, and there's no real certainty as to just how healthy he's going to be. And by the way, if there's something left in the tank for Cam Newton, Bill Belichick will get it out of him. But I will tell you this, though. If you ask me right now, who would I rather have, Tua Tagovailoa or Cam Newton? It's Tagovailoa by a mile.
Yep.
So I don't fear the Patriots the way that I once did. To me, having Tom Brady was the conversation ender. You lost him. You lost Gronk. You lost coaching staff. They're trying stuff. They're trying to do stuff that other teams have tried to do over the course of time, right? You find a reclamation project. You take a chance on someone that other people aren't willing to take a chance on. But to me, I still think the Dolphins, you know, maybe I'm looking at it through my Dolphins colored glasses and drinking the Dolphins Kool-Aid. I believe the Dolphins right now are situated better than any team in the AFC East. I think the coaching staff, and I think the personnel, and I think still what they have next year in the draft, I think the Dolphins team is so perfectly situated in the AFC East that I'm just not scared by the Cam Newton signing. Like that the notion of always being scared of what New England does doesn't exist for me anymore.
Certainly not scared in the long term. I mean, Cam Newton at his age with his injury history, like this is a bridge at best. And I have noticed though over the last less than 24 hours, I've heard some feedback from a lot of New England fans who seem to actually be upset that they signed Cam Newton to this deal. I don't know if all the winning they've done in the last 20 years, they've just lost so many brain cells because they've been so spoiled by all the winning. But it's like, I kind of get the feeling, and not all New England fans, I won't speak for all of them, but there's a portion of them that actually were excited about the idea of really seeing what Jared Stidham can do in his second year. And, you know, and certainly the door is not shut on Stidham completely for 2020, because if Newton gets injured again, then that, you know, it pulls the door wide open again for Stidham to get his shot. But I do think that there are some New England fans who kind of feel like this may stunt his growth a little bit. And I guess I can understand it to an extent. And it's because of what you said, like the Dolphins are positioned in a way, and really so are, you know, the Jets and the Bills, who are, you know, a year or two ahead of the Dolphins on their project with a new quarterback. But you think about all the young quarterbacks in that division with Sam Darnold and Josh Allen, and now you throw Tua into the mix. All of these teams are building for the future. And if Newton does end up being the guy this year in New England, then it's really just a bridge, nothing more than that.
I will tell you, though, Bill Belichick is one of those guys that if they get to camp and Cam Newton gets outplayed by Jared Stidham, I think it adds to Belichick's luster and legacy that he went with a Stidham over Cam Newton. Like, I don't think anything's guaranteed for Cam. I think he's going to have to prove that he's still a capable starter in the league. And obviously, if he's capable of playing the way that he was once playing, then Dolphins fans have something to be worried about. But I kind of feel like that shoulder is shot. The other thing that we're going to talk about a little bit today, we have a lot of stuff to get to today. Today is a loaded potato. One of the other things I want to talk about today, Mike Inglis from the Miami Heat Basketball Network, he's going to join us in the next segment. Did you watch the ESPN LeBron decision backstory? It was the one-hour backstory they did the primetime special last night.
God, I wish I hadn't. I mean, I was so excited heading into it.
Me too.
Just something about the way it was produced. Now, I think the man's name escapes me, but the guy who narrated it, I think, was also the guy who, like, produced it. Van Natta. Like, I don't know. I ended up watching it back on DVR this morning. Like, I should have watched it last night before bed, because I could have saved myself an Ambien last night. Just something about, like, the way that it was edited together and the way he narrated it. Like, it was tough to get through it. And there were parts of it that were interesting, don't get me wrong. I thought some of the behind-the-scenes footage that they showed, like, during the commercial breaks of the actual decision special, just seeing how uncomfortable LeBron was, and, like, Maverick Carter throwing stuff at Jim Gray, because they did, like, an after session for LeBronJames.com where Jim Gray asked LeBron extra questions from fans. And at one point, Maverick is, like, showing questions to Jim Gray. He's like, wait, you really want me to ask that one? And something interesting about it, Hawk, was it was very clear, and I guess we kind of knew this because we've heard enough of the stories come out over the past 10 years. LeBron and his people thought, oh, this is a great idea to do this on national TV. Like, there's no downside to this. You know, we're raising all this money for charity and we're building our brand. But then once the special actually started, you could tell that LeBron started to think, I really shouldn't be here, and I shouldn't be doing this. So to watch his discomfort build throughout the special, I thought was so interesting looking back on it a decade later.
Right, that was the part that was interesting to me. I found that same exact feeling where even when they were walking in from their caravan over to the Boys and Girls Club, you started to get the feeling that they realized, huh, this is not going to be the way that we envisioned in our head. Like, I'm going to say it. There's going to be no fireworks going off. It's not going to be met with stadium-like cheering. Like, it just wasn't planned out that well. But a couple of things. I agree with you. I sat down to watch this documentary with my wife and kid the way that we did on Sunday nights for The Last Dance. Like, we all were excited for it all day. And I was not expecting to see Zoom interviews with Buzz Bissinger and Scott Rabb. And like, that stuff just didn't interest me. I thought we were going to see more behind the scenes stuff, which we didn't. The one thing that I really gleaned from it was Bing was a big sponsor of the decision. And I don't think they got the bump from the exposure that they were looking for. I kept seeing that all over the backdrops, Bing. And I'm like, you know, they never really got that decision bump they were looking for. So anyway, we've got that today. Mike Inglis is going to join us. And Dr. Chuck Metzger will join us today, as he always does on Mondays with a COVID update. Obviously, things are not great in Florida when it comes to COVID. And Calvin Hughes, the Emmy Award-winning anchor at Local 10. We always enjoy talking to him. He's going to stop on by today. We have a good Into the Archives today. We're not going to allow these New England Patriots fans to celebrate today as if Cam Newton is something special. We're going to put him back in their place today. And so we got a lot of stuff to get to. Let's get headlines here first, though, with Alejandro Solana.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Yeah, that's right, though. Cam Newton did ink a one-year deal with the New England Patriots. I know you guys just talked about that. In the NBA, though, the Los Angeles Lakers, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, are finalizing a deal to bring in J.R. Smith ahead of their Orlando restart.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch.
So am I.
You thought LeBron looked like the wind came out of his sails during that special last night 10 years ago? Wait till he's back on the court with J.R. Smith.
Yeah, wait until J.R. is holding for the final shot and lets it go like 2 seconds after time expires.
Yeah, I mean, how quick is it going to be before LeBron has that same outstretched hands look of disdain at J.R. Smith during this tournament?
How does this work, though? How does LeBron already forgive J.R. Smith for forgetting, in the most pivotal moment of the NBA Finals in 2018, the score of the game? Like, how does that work?
He forgave Dan Gilbert. You watched it last night.
Right.
I mean, the guy has a lot of forgiveness in his heart.
Very good point. The NBA schedule was released about an hour after this show ended on Friday. We learned Friday the Heat will open in Orlando August 1st. So 3 days into the restart versus the Denver Nuggets. As it stands right now, they're 1-point favorites versus Denver.
Let's do it.
Can't
take
wait.
Note. Take note, NBA fans.
They play Indiana twice, which could factor into the seeding. But ironically, if you're the 4 or the 5, it doesn't really matter because there is no home court advantage. But they do have a 2-game advantage over Indiana right now, who is in 5th. Miami Heat currently in the 4th seed in the East. They also play.
I mean, you know, it's been so long since we've seen basketball, so you got to remind me who's on Indiana. I remember Roy Hibbert.
Right.
What do we have? What do we have beyond him?
Roy Hibbert, Jeff Teague,
Lance Stevenson.
Right.
All right. Just
Paul
checking.
George.
Okay. So I do have it right. Okay.
They've got all the Hans Bros.
Reggie Miller, I think, is suiting up for the Orlando restart.
Larry Bird is the coach.
Right. All right. Correct.
Perfect.
They also play the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Raptors once each of those teams.
Okay.
Former Miami Dolphins assistant Bill Arnsposger was honored when he was selected as one of 2 recipients of the 2020 Paul Dr. Z. Zimmerman Award. It's the award given by the Pro Football Writers Association, and it recognizes lifetime achievement as an assistant coach in the NFL.
I'm guessing you don't remember Dr. Z from Sports Illustrated, do you?
No.
I don't either.
You, Donald?
No.
Johnny Manziel, he says he would characterize his football career as, quote, probably in the past.
Welcome to the club, buddy.
Finally, guys, today's National Waffle Iron Day.
Oh, nice.
So you're not celebrating actual waffles today? You're celebrating the waffle iron?
Right. Can you make a waffle today?
National Waffle Day has its own day. Today is just National Waffle Iron Day. So
you're saying like there's a National Egg Day and then there's National Egg Beater Day.
Right, right, exactly.
National Skillet Day.
I don't get it. Why would you celebrate waffle irons?
Well, the waffle iron, one of the greatest inventions of all time, I think. I'd put it up there.
It's Why? Up there with the wheel.
Why is it one of the greatest inventions of all time?
Because if you don't have a waffle iron, then making a waffle can be very, very difficult. You can make a pancake with a skillet, right? But you can't make a waffle, a good waffle, that is, without a waffle iron. I'm telling you, the waffle iron, one of the greatest inventions of all time.
But it's a good point. Like, if you made a waffle on a skillet, then wouldn't it technically be a pancake?
It's a pancake.
But I'm saying, like,
it's a pancake.
Waffles don't exist unless there's a waffle iron, correct?
Yeah.
Correct, right.
Right.
Great
so
invention.
But I'm saying to invent that, it doesn't make any sense. Like, you wouldn't have known that there was a waffle if there was no waffle iron. The two go hand in hand. It wouldn't be like, man, really wish we could make waffles, but no one has invented a waffle iron. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. All right, you have weather?
Not only should there be a National Waffle Iron Day, there should also be a separate day, a National Mickey Waffle Iron Day, because
yes.
The only thing better than a waffle made from a waffle iron is a Mickey waffle made from a Mickey waffle iron.
I will tell you, the ones that they make in Orlando are pretty good. The ones that
my
people
son,
try to make
my
at
son
home
will
are never
only,
good.
My son only eats a waffle if it's a Mickey waffle. He refuses to eat non-Mickey waffles. So, I'd say those are tremendous.
All right. Well, you got to break him of that habit, though. Anything else? You have weather?
Yeah, let's get to weather. Right now, 92 degrees in South Florida. Very hot. Feels like it's in the hundreds, north of the hundreds right now. Sunset tonight, 8:16 p.m., just a 90% chance you won't see rain today in South Florida because this is still somewhat affecting our area. Let's get to it.
Excellent.
Tracking the Saharan dust plume.
Looks like it's affecting Georgia, though, more than South Florida. But you can still experience.
We
got to
track that thing forever,
yeah.
Like until it's the last little speck of dust.
Right, right. You can still experience irritated eyes, maybe some scratchy throats because of the dust plume. That's the latest here from the Weatherplex, and that's your weather.
Wow, we've renamed it the Weatherplex?
Yeah.
That was a surprise to all of us.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Tell Trey Young I said hi.
You want to see loco?
Somebody texted in while we were talking with Mike English there. I was a part of the crew that built the stage for the celebration. We didn't know that LeBron was coming. The decision was being broadcast on the big screen as we worked. We found out in real time. So my guess is the Heat were going to have a celebration for Wade and Bosh regardless. And then the thought would be, this will be much better. This will be a much better party if LeBron announces us. Do you remember what you were doing for the announcement?
Yes, I was I was watching in the apartment I was living at the time. And, you know, just watching by myself. Like, I wasn't at, like, a viewing party. I wasn't at a sports bar or anything. But much like Mike Inglis, I did a happy dance. And I couldn't sleep that night, right? I mean, I was so pumped up. And it might just be because I'm a Heat homer, but I had a feeling LeBron was going to say Miami. Like, I was confident. It also, like, in the buildup to it, you had the Stephen A. Smiths and the Chris Broussards, who were both, you know, pretty matter of fact. Like,
yeah.
Hey, I have sources, and my sources are telling me that he's going to Miami. And so all the signs were pointing at Miami. I just think a lot of people chose not to believe it. Like, a lot of people either said, well, hey, there's no way he's going to have a TV special if he's leaving Cleveland, because that would just be so heartless to the Cleveland fans, who's probably staying in Cleveland. And then other people thought, because, you know, Knicks fans are delusional. All the Knicks fans thought, well, bro, he's coming to the Mecca, bro. He's definitely going to New York. Why wouldn't you want to be in New York? And so outside of that, like, I think people were ignoring the Broussards and the Stephen A. Smiths when most of the signs were pointing to Miami all along.
What were you doing, Solana?
That day, I was a sophomore in high school, I think. A freshman or a sophomore. I was actually at my brother's house. My brother and I, huge Heat fans. And it's actually the house I live in now. So pretty cool to kind of circle back. But yeah, we just hung out all night, waited for it. And I don't remember it being that long and awkward. Like yesterday, I was reminded, I guess because once you found out he was coming to the Heat, you didn't care anymore about it being this 30
minutes. But it was the
lead
up to finding out, though. It was the 20 minutes to lead. Like, right. You know, even like last night watching that documentary, like, and they didn't really show that much of it. But I mean, think of, you're waiting to hear. You've got fan bases on pins and needles. You've got owners and teammates on pins and needles. And Jim Gray is asking him, you know, how many people did it take to come to this decision? And like, it was just interminable. And like I was telling Mike English, I was sitting at a bar on the Jersey Shore, a rainforest cafe, no less, only because like I literally looked down at my clock. And I was like, oh, it's time for the decision. I'm going to run it. I remember telling my wife and kid, and you know, we were with like, you know, 10 people or whatever. I remember telling them like, yeah, go ahead. Like the miniature golf was like maybe a half mile up on the boardwalk. And I was like, yeah, I'll just duck into this rainforest cafe and I'll catch up to you walking. Like I didn't even think, you know what I mean? Like I was like, oh, I'll duck in. I'll look on TV. He's going to announce where he's going. He's going to put on a hat. And then I'll catch up. Little did I know, you know, they'd get a whole round of miniature golf in before I was able to get down there. But yeah.
Now, did you celebrate by getting one of those desserts with all the sparklers in it? Have you ever seen those at the rainforest? the volcano? Cafe. Volcano!
I couldn't get out of that place fast enough. By the way, I will tell you this. This is not a popular opinion, I don't think, with adults. Rainforest Cafe has very good food. It is completely underrated when it comes to food. Now, I haven't been there in a long time because my child is 16 years old now. But we used to go to the one in Sawgrass every now and then. But every summer when we would go to the Jersey Shore, there's a big Rainforest Cafe on the Atlantic City Boardwalk. And we would always, I would take my nieces there. That was like a fun night out for everybody because we'd be walking on the Atlantic City Boardwalk. And I just want to go into casinos. So at some point, I'm going to bolt from the group. And I'm going to say, I'll see you later. I'll take a cab home. And then I would go do my thing. So I would take everybody to Rainforest Cafe. And the food is not bad at Rainforest Cafe. I firmly believe that.
I don't know. Maybe the one at the Jersey Shore is better. Like I've been to the one at Disney Springs a handful of times because like I liked going there when I was a kid because it opened like many years ago there. And I liked to go in there when I was a kid because I liked all the stuff in there, which is still pretty cool even to this day. But man, maybe outside of like a couple of sandwiches, like if you try to get too creative and get a pasta dish or something, it's pretty
really?
Brutal every time.
I'm
yeah,
gonna,
I mean,
I'm gonna have to disagree
know.
With you on this.
I don't
Solana,
know.
You ever had a Rainforest Cafe meal?
Yeah, I loved Rainforest Cafe growing up. I love the smell when you walk in, that very distinct
yeah.
smell. That
yes,
you can
it,
always
was,
smell
it was.
Rainforest
it was misty. It was. Right. You know, they always had like right. the water mist going on and the thunder sound. I'm telling you, the food there. Somebody texts in. Sorry, Hawk. I went 2 years ago at Disney Springs and it sucked.
Maybe that one's the problem. Maybe it's just
maybe
that
one one's the bad one. I'm telling you, I think that they have underrated food. I'm not, you know, telling you it's a gourmet meal, but it's not like
Zagat rated.
Yeah, I mean, it's not swill is my point, but you know, again, I haven't gone very often.
It's
then
the
they were,
Cheesecake Factory, though, isn't it? Like, it's the same idea.
You know, that's there. You go. That's not that. I have to tell you, that's not a bad analogy right there. It is a very large menu with a ton of items. Hmm. Cheesecake Factory is best. I happen to love Cheesecake Factory, and I know people like to hate on it. Because
I love it, too.
You know, oh, it's at every mall, and that's, you know, the gluttonous Americans and blah, blah, blah. You tell me a better entree than that crusted chicken Romano.
Oh, so good.
I dare you. I dare you. Tell me a better entree than the crusted chicken Romano. Go ahead, Solana. Anybody.
I don't have one.
You can't.
Yeah. I don't have one either.
It's an all-time banger, crusted chicken Romano. Anybody? Text it in, 786-360-0790. Better entree than crusted chicken Romano. And, you know, savvy veterans, you get extra sauce for the spaghetti because that sauce is real good, very sweet. But, yeah, I like Cheesecake Factory. And I like Rainforest Cafe, so sue me. What are you going to do? But I was talking with Dono and Solana during the commercial break because I'm off tomorrow. I'm off Wednesday. And Dono or Solana said, what are you going to do tomorrow? And I'm going to take my wife, who's from Philly originally. We're going to go up to West Palm Beach. It's her birthday tomorrow. We're doing the social distancing thing because the COVID cases have gotten so large down here in South Florida. Like, we're not going to go to the beach, and we're really trying to stay inside. But we are going to go, have our masks on. We're going to go up to City Place in West Palm Beach. There is a Rita's Water Ice. And if you've ever had Rita's Water Ice, it is the best water ice on the Jersey Shore, and they happen to and in Philly, and they happen to have one in West Palm Beach. So we're going to go up there tomorrow, and we're going to do a little birthday celebration for Lori. So there you go.
Happy birthday, Lori, by the way.
All about the food people. I'm looking at the texts that are coming in. Bang Bang Chicken and Shrimp. You ever had that there?
No, I've had the Bang Bang Shrimp at Bonefish. Oh, that's really good. Nah, I've never had the one at Cheesecake though, but the one at Bonefish is awesome.
Somebody says the Factory Burrito Grande. Now, I always see that on the Cheesecake Factory menu. I never get it because I'm like, I'm a Cheesecake Factory. Why should I waste my time with a burrito? Is it good?
I've never had that. No. I had one of their Asian dishes once that was not bad. I think it was like the cashew chicken was pretty good.
Were you like the brown bread or the sourdough bread?
I like both almost equally. I slightly prefer the sourdough when most people prefer the brown bread.
But I like the brown bread.
I'm just a big sucker for sourdough. Like, sourdough is one of my favorite forms of bread on planet Earth.
Solana, sourdough bread or brown bread at Cheesecake Factory?
Well, if I'm going to go bread, I'm always going sourdough bread. I love the sourdough. Good. However, I normally say no to the bread. I just tell them to bring out the avocado toast because avocado toast at Cheesecake Factory is so good.
Well, but you can't just tell them to bring it out. You have to order it.
Yeah, that costs money.
No, right. But I tell them, look, hold the bread. I'm going to take in the carbs with the avocado toast because it's on the superfood menu and they have the best avocado toast.
It is on the superfood menu. Yeah, I mean, not correct. No, he's correct.
Yeah. I didn't even know they had a superfood menu.
They've got a skinny menu. They've got a superfood menu. Somebody texts in that they just opened a Rita's in Coral Springs.
Nice.
I might have a Rita's closer to me than West Palm. Huh. Somebody else texts in, the Factory Burrito Grande is on the Mount Rushmore of cheesecake entrees.
It's just like, I don't think to go there and get a burrito, because there's some really good, like, mom and pop Mexican places not too far from me. So I'm not going to be like, oh, burrito night, let's go to Cheesecake Factory.
I'm telling you, if you've never had the crusted chicken Romano at Cheesecake Factory, you are missing out. Yeah, I'm telling you, you're missing out.
Now, what's your take on the actual cheesecake there? Because a lot of people talk a lot of trash about it. Oh, it's so overrated. But my thing is, where else am I going to get a s'mores cheesecake? Like, I can't just go to go to my neighborhood deli and get like a double Oreo s'more cheesecake. So I like the fact that the Cheesecake Factory has 150 different options for cheesecake when I can't get that sort of thing at a regular spot.
Yep, I would never hate on their cheesecake. Their red velvet cheesecake.
Oh, that's good too.
The best. That's their best. And they've got a new one. We went there a couple months ago, or ordered in a couple months ago. They have a Cinnabon cheesecake, and it's got that cinnamon swirl and whatever. Unbelievable. I almost cursed. Unbelievably good. Unbelievably good. So there you go. All right, we've broken down the decision, the Cam Newton trade, or the Cam Newton signing, and Cheesecake Factory and Rainforest Cafe. I think we've had a fortuitous first hour on the program. You were doing so well with the music today, Solana, and then you go into the old bag of bits for Wham Rap, and you just kill me. It's a bag of bits. He knows this song is garbage. I happen to like Wham. I like George Michael.
I like Wham, too.
This song is garbage. It wasn't popular in the 80s. He thinks this is like a big 80s banger. Hockman and Crowder simulcast. Alex Dono is in for Crowder today. He's on paternity leave. A lot of people texting in after Calvin Hughes there. Great segment, very informative, very soothing voice. Somebody says Hawk's voice changes to this guy's voice. I do that. I mirror the guest. If he's being very very sounding, you know, profound to me or whatnot, I try to be mirroring of that that demeanor. All right, let's have a little fun here. We are going to talk.
I was very impressed with both of you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I was trying to keep up. We are going to get more COVID talk, too. Dr. Chuck Metzger is going to be on with us in the 4 o'clock hour. We're going to go into the archives here. We're going to have a little fun here. Let's play the big open for Into the Archives, Salandria. This is for... this is for Cam Newton and all the Patriots fans.
What we're going to do right here is go back.
Gonna go back.
What we're gonna do right here is go back.
We're going back.
Go back, go back, go back, go back,
back into time.
Go back, back.
We can replace
mixing,
this.
Scratching, man. You did a good job there.
Yeah. We can replace this with Wham Rap if you prefer. Up to you.
I'd prefer not to. So, Patriots fans, and you know, everything comes out last night. Cam Newton's going to the Patriots, and all the Dolphins fans are, oh, woe is me. And Patriots fans are like, yeah, look at us. We've replaced Tom Brady. We're the best team in the AFC East again, blah, blah, blah. So I said, what I'm going to do here is not allow Patriots fans to have their day. We're going to go into the archives. Dono, I don't know if you ever heard this segment, but this is the day after the Miami Miracle.
Oh, I did hear it, and it was glorious.
Right? We all remember that game. I mean, it was fun as hell because it was Gronk that got beat at the end. And I mean, it's just a play that Bill Belichick never gets beaten on, right? I mean, he's a coaching deity, right? He's not supposed to lose in that fashion. So that game was on a Sunday. Crowder and I come on the air on Monday, and this is how we celebrated the Miami Miracle. This is a little dig at you Patriots fans. We're not going to allow you to forget this. Here we go, into the archives.
First and goal. They marked him out at the 7-yard line. Kenyon Drake replaces Gore in the backfield. Back to throw. Rolling to his right. Tannehill throws it. He's got a receiver. Touchdown, Miami. Kenny Stills. Brady under center. Play action fake, back to throw, and he's got Edelman for the touchdown. Now Bolden comes back and lines up as a running back, former Patriot as well.
Yes, he is.
They give the football, fly tackle right up the middle. He's at the 40, he's at the 30, the 20, touchdown Miami. Drake goes in motion, they give it to Bolden, goes to his right, puts his head down, touchdown. Unbelievable.
Who is this man? Brandon Bolden, another touchdown.
Back to throw Tannehill. Over the middle, touchdown, Bryce Butler.
What a throw by Ryan Tannehill.
Tannehill, last shot, back to throw. They throw it down, they try to pitch it, and they do, to Parker. Parker pitches it, and it's Drake. Drake, 30, 20, Gronkowski's got a tackle. Oh,
no way!
He got it in the end zone. Touchdown!
The Dolphins win it!
Unbelievable!
Are you kidding me? That is unbelievable!
I don't believe what I just saw!
Yeah! There you go, Valero! We're gonna do it right! Keep both hands on the wheel! But here we go!
Wow.
Something even better than a Dolphins win. It's a Dolphins win coupled with thousands of Patriots fans walking the hell out of there. Crank it up! All of Miami feeling it! All of Boston sucking it! Crank it up! And it's a Dolphins win coupled with Bill Belichick looking like a lost little puppy dog. The coaching genius turned into a coaching turd. He blew the game. Bill Belichick blew the game. When it's a Dolphins victory coupled with column after column in newspapers in the Northeast lambasting Bill Belichick for dumb coaching decisions, crank it up! It's party day! discussion for NFL playoffs when it's a Dolphins win coupled with Tom Brady turning sad and dumbfounded on the sidelines in a matter of seconds. When it's a Dolphins win coupled with the irony of Rob Gronkowski not being able to stop a 69-yard play. 69 yards! That's his specialty! Nice! That's when we know we can party! Crank it up, Valero!
Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
Party day!
Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
I don't want this feeling to end ever!
Who they got next week? Minnesota?
They had no ass kickers.
Oh my God, does Miami feel good on this one?
They should.
Bill Belichick blew the game.
Gase outcoached Belichick. Tannehill outplayed Brady.
Talk to me.
We are rolling.
Talk to me, Rob Gronkowski stumbling over his feet. Crank it up!
Feel it.
Put a tight end at safety?
They put a tight end at safety!
And he fell over himself.
He fell over his feet! As anyone who's never played safety would! Trying to chase down Kenyon Drake!
So goofy ass off the grass.
Oh my God. For people that don't really understand the gravity of the mistake that Bill Belichick made, pretend it was Adam Gase. Pretend he took out Rashad Jones and put in Mike Gesicki.
Bad decision.
Bad decision. You'd be calling for his firing today. Bill Belichick. Crank it up.
I don't want it to end.
Can you feel it?
I feel it. Ah, that was a good trip into the archives, Dono. That was a good trip into the archives.
And I will never forget, I Solana was in the press box with me when we watched that final play, and my God, so glad that we didn't do what a lot of media people did. They were already heading for the elevator, you know, that elevator you have to wait forever for at Hard Rock Stadium to go down to the locker rooms. We stayed to watch that play, and it was incredible.
There were media members that missed that because they were in line at
yes.
the elevator?
Most media
yes,
members.
Yes, absolutely.
Most media members.
Probably 70%.
Maybe more,
oh
Dono.
Oh, God.
I remember.
That's crazy.
You and I were in that press box. I remember it being a ghost town. Like, it was yeah. it was us, Frito was there, and, like, two other media members I remember immediately being near us, and everybody else had already left.
Somebody texts in, oh man, I just got the goosebumps. I was there. Listening to it again is awesome. Hawk went off that Monday. LMAO. We did. We went off that Monday. That was a fun trip into the archive.
Coming up next on the Hawk and Crowder Show.
You know, I like my Drake, but I also like my oldies, baby.
Oh, here it is. Let's go.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Dr. Chuck Metzger, he joins us every Monday. He's a board-certified internist in Boca Raton. He's been the team doctor for FAU Athletics and the chief of medicine at Boca Raton Regional Hospital. He is a clinical affiliate faculty member for FAU Medical School and is in private practice in Boca, has been since 1999. You can follow him on Twitter at Chuck Metzger. And there's a lot of COVID cases in Florida and there's a lot of hot spots around the country. And so he's joining us to give us a little update on stuff. And we'll start with the same way we always start, Dr. Chuck. The latest actual numbers, coronavirus numbers, for our listeners in Monroe, Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties.
Okay. Yeah, the usual. I'll start at Monroe. So Monroe County has gone up to about 236 reported cases with 4 reported fatalities to date. Miami-Dade has gone up to 35,221 cases with 975 deaths. Broward is at 15,045 cases with 382 deaths. Palm Beach County is at 13,709 with reported cases, with 503 deaths to date.
All right. So the numbers in Florida, not today specifically, although I guess maybe I'm just immune to numbers because it's still a large number, but it wasn't a record-setting number. But the numbers are fairly high. The number of cases increasing in the country compared to what we had been seeing across the world as cases start to lessen, it's pretty scary for our country. Do you think Florida and the U.S. is headed down a path towards disaster, or am I just looking at this at, you know, base level, and you can actually look at the numbers and what's going on, and you can glean something else from the data?
Yeah, I'm somewhere in the middle. I see the numbers, I see the changes, and your first natural instinct is to kind of go, wow, you cringe a little bit because it's going up. So it's really how you react from there. So I try and take a step back and look and say, well, what was the reason for the initial lockdown? The reason for it was to make sure we aren't exhibiting signs of overwhelming the medical system. We're still not there now. Now, obviously, the trend going up is not where we want it to continue. So I think that what we found and what's been reported is that a lot more of the cases now are younger people, which doesn't mean they're out of the woods, because they could still get sick and get very sick and even die from this, of course. There's just less of a chance of that happening. So as we've kind of said in the past, the worry is 2 to 4 weeks after these cases are reported, how sick are these people? Because initially you get sick, you're having symptoms, but really with coronavirus, the sickest times are between 7 to 10 days, is where people usually really kind of declare themselves as, I'm going to get really sick from this, because essentially they're having this kind of cytokine storm, which is an inflammatory response where you can get fluid in your lungs. And that's where they're shortest of breath, the low oxygen levels, the high fevers all kind of culminate in them seeking medical care at a hospital. By the time they get to the hospital, that's where, you know, there's a safety net, but a real deep one. So, you know, it starts to get to a point where those people may very well need hospitalization, not only hospitalization, but ICU hospitalization. That's the worry, is that it's going to kind of one step leads to another. How it's going to play out, it's really hard to know. But the trend going in this direction, I think, so I looked at the numbers. The total positive rate for tests is about 8% first-time testers in Florida. So that's certainly up from the 2 or 3% we were at before we kind of opened up. And so it's going in the wrong direction. It's not catapulting, in my opinion, but it's certainly going in the wrong direction. So it's just a matter of, wow, how is this going to play out, and where do we stand right now? I think overall we're not totally overwhelmed as far as the healthcare system goes in Florida, but that's the worry.
Good info, Doc. And is there any news on a vaccine, and will we ever really be able to get back to normal before that time comes?
Gosh, you know, there's no major updates in the United States. In China, they've actually started to immunize and use a vaccine on their army. So to me, that really, just thinking scientifically, that makes me think they're more doing essentially a trial on their own people to kind of forcibly immunize people and see how they respond and see how well the vaccine works. But there is a vaccine that doesn't have an official name. It just got essentially an experimental name. It doesn't have any specific title behind it, but it's a vaccine that they're implementing starting like right now to do essentially a trial. Short of that, the trials that are going on in the United States are really, there's about 5 companies that are kind of running these trials. They're still in the middle and then in the midst of the phases that get them to end of phase 3. So phase 1 is just a very small trial. Phase 2 is kind of more of a safety trial. And now phase 3 is really more of an efficacy, which means they want to see how well it works. That's where, starting next month, a couple of the companies that are making the vaccines, Moderna and another one, are going to start their phase 3 trials. Hopefully, by the end of the year, November-ish, is what I've read, they should have data. That data will be then fast-tracked, hopefully positively, into a formative campaign to get them approved as a vaccine and then produced. The production may start, is planning on being started prior to this being approved, in case it does get approved, and so that they're ready to go right away. So that's the first part as far as updates go. In terms of where we stand and the likelihood of a normal return, I just don't see it. You know, the people that are at risk are always going to be at risk. So young people, people who don't have real compromised immune systems, things like that, or under age 65, really under age 50, I would even say, those people, if they get sick, it's a low likelihood they're going to get really sick. But the people that we worry about are people that are connected to us that are older or vulnerable. And that risk is not going to change until we have an actual vaccine and or some kind of a medicine that truly, truly helps. And right now, we're just not there.
Dr. Chuck Metzger, he joins us every Monday with updates like this, and we appreciate it. What's your advice? I know, you know, listeners might be tired of hearing this over and over, wear a mask, but what is your advice? You're a doctor. How important is it to wear a mask when you're out, to practice social distancing, to wash your hands frequently? My own personal opinion is I feel like people have forgotten just how much you can mitigate virus spread by consistently washing your hands and using hand sanitizers.
Yeah. So keep in mind, this started in Civil War. So literally in the 1700s, we realized that if a doctor went from one person to the next person without washing their hands, the likelihood of them spreading infection or gangrene back in the day was much higher. So we've known for a long time that the simple act of washing your hands is very, very preventive in terms of spreading infection. So that's a great point, and is always going to be the standard precautions that all doctors take to and nurses and healthcare workers to prevent spreading infection from one patient to another as we go in between them. Masks themselves, again, it's a struggle for some people because they feel like it's taking away their freedoms or it's too close and it's very claustrophobic. I understand that. This is hopefully a temporary thing. And it's not really about that individual person. It's about the people that they could potentially affect if they were to get it or transmit it or both because they're not wearing a mask at the time. It's not so much that if you're, you know, in a wide open area that it's as much of a risk. It's in a closed in area. Who are you going to spend more time with in a closed in area? Family, friends, the elderly, someone you have to go and sit with. That's the risk, is that you're going to spread it to someone even if you have no symptoms or pre-symptomatic, meaning you're going to get symptoms, but you don't have them yet. So you have no way of knowing that you have the condition. So by just doing these things and just bearing with us until we get this thing figured out over the next few months, hopefully quicker than, you know, the end of the year, it goes a long way towards really just helping those around you. And just think of your loved ones when you do these things.
Yeah, I want to circle back, Doc, to the hospital beds topic. You know, my wife works for a hospital, Dade County, in the Baptist system. And, you know, so far she's told me some pretty encouraging stuff that, you know, they have plenty of hospital beds at the moment and their resources are not overwhelmed. So I'm very happy to hear that. So how are things at your practice and how are things at Boca General at this point?
So I've been fortunate. My patients have been able to socially isolate. They've been very aware of and very much followed through on the instructions that we've given from the CDC. So I'm stable as far as that goes. I've really had very minimal effects. In Boca Hospital itself, in fact, I just kind of, in preparation for this today, I looked at the state's statistics from the Florida Department of Health on the ICU bed capacity. And really, it ranges from Jackson Memorial to University of Miami to Baptist in Miami to Holy Cross to Broward General, Cleveland Clinic, West Boca, Boca Regional, Delray Medical Center. It ranges between 20 and 30%, as high as 40% in University of Miami's Jackson facilities. Of bed capacity. It may not seem like there's a lot of room, but again, keep in mind that since we've opened up, patients are now getting out more. They're actually having surgeries. They're getting sick for other reasons as well. So the fact that there is bed capacity, to me, in the ICUs is a good thing. We just don't want to see it shrink. And I think over the next 2 to 4 weeks, we'll know. It's just the rolling statistics of, as people get sicker, usually takes 2 to 4 weeks for them to get sick enough to be in the hospital and then sick enough, therefore, to be in the ICU. So it's still in manageable conditions as far as I would assume describe this, but just got to watch it.
Just got to be careful. Dr. Chuck Metzger, it's not as dire as some of us maybe are feeling right now from what I'm gathering from what you're saying. Could be, but it's not right now.
Yeah, you know, it's that sense of you hear these numbers day after day after day, and you don't really know the perspective to bring to it because it just sounds like the numbers are getting ridiculously high. They're trending in the wrong direction, no question about it. We need to do better at protecting each other from getting this. But it's not at a level where, again, the point of this is more how many people are in the hospital, how many people are really sick, are the ICUs overwhelmed? That's an unacceptable critical mass that was happening at New York and everything. We're not there. We don't want to get there, but we're not there. So I think it's just, again, it's the surveillance that we have.
Dr. Chuck Metzger, I'm going to read a couple of texts that have come in. Somebody says, please ask Dr. Chuck for his opinion on the usefulness of a personal pulse oximeter. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
So, to help COVID diagnosis for pre-symptomatic and asymptomatic people.
So pulse oximeter, which is what that they're describing, is just a device you put on your finger. You can put it on your ear and other places, but typically on the finger. A couple of things about that. So it's a device that uses light to determine the oxygen level in your fingertip, essentially. And so make sure that the person wearing it, using it, does not have dark nail polish on, because that can affect it. So I just bring that up because we're talking about that. And it can affect and make people think they're sick, and they may not be. So the idea is with coronavirus is it drops your oxygen level, and so people get really profoundly low with their oxygen, to the point where we've actually kind of invented a different way of addressing those people, where we actually pronate them, meaning we put them on their face in the bed to actually improve their oxygen levels if they're really sick, to try and avoid putting them on a ventilator. The oximeter, the idea is that if you get low, that it'll tell you that you're getting sick. It's not a great way. It's a way, and if you do notice a trend, it would be a reason to obviously seek help. What we look for, and the reason we would typically send a patient to the hospital, is if they had fevers, a cough, and shortness of breath. That shortness of breath could be another way to look at it. It would be low oxygen. So I think it's a way. It's not the most effective way, because really we're going off of other symptoms. So something, you know, a reason to at least ask for help if you start noticing it getting below. So low would be 91% in most healthy people. 92% or higher is considered normal. So 91% or lower would be considered abnormal. I don't tell my patients to get a pulse oximeter and follow with that. I just look for their symptoms in general, though.
That texter follows up with another text that says, also, does that help for people who build their own cupcakes?
Wow, I tell you.
So here's another text. I'm going to read you another text. After Dr. Chuck gives out all of his knowledgeable and much appreciated information, can you have him address ordering a kid's dessert while out with the fellas? All right, so somebody else texts in, you better ask this man about cupcakes at Duffy's. The texts are coming in. Last week on the show, we went into the archives. We played a segment where I was telling Crowder about going out with you and Jim DeJoseph to Duffy's to watch a football game. Three guys.
Time of our lives.
Three guys drinking beers, and then all of a sudden you decide you need something sweet. And Dr. Chuck ordered off the kids' menu build-it-yourself cupcakes because he thinks they're delicious. And Dono, you were here when we listened to it. They don't even bring a knife with these cupcakes because it's for kids. So it's like one of those tongue depressors. And then they have gummy worms for you to like put on the frosting. And I found it to be wildly inappropriate for you, a doctor, an adult, being out with a couple of the fellas to order children's cupcakes. That was $2.99 on the menu, by the way.
Great price.
You've had a week to think about this since we played this last week. How would you like to respond?
The first thing I would do is kind of clarify. You call it a kids menu. I think it was called a future adults menu. So I think that that right there gives you a better sense for where I'm coming from. Listen, if anyone is out there and has had those cupcakes, they would find no fault with what I'm saying. It was really good. That frosting has to be made in-house. That is fresh. It's crisp, delicious. Sure, they have those little mini tongue depressor things that would never work in a doctor's office, by the way. And sure, you apply. But to me, it adds to the excitement of, wow, I'm really putting a masterpiece together. You can make it look like it has fuzzy hair. You can do lots of little things with it. And then the gummy bear. I just eat the gummy bears. I think he's selling me on this idea.
Really?
Yeah, and I just eat the gummy bears straight up. I just pop them all in. I just do the whole cup of gummy bears.
He's making it sound
worse to me. I hadn't considered, like, I can make a smiley face on it. Like, I can make pattern. Like, I hadn't even thought of that.
You don't realize the ridiculousness of ordering this? Yeah. It's like 11 p.m. We're watching a night football game. We're drinking beers. And then he's like, the waitress came out and didn't know what table the cupcakes were for because there were no kids at our table.
She didn't. Yeah. She actually looked at the other. She actually turned around. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
By the way, just so everybody knows, before you text in, this was like 2-3 years ago. We've not been out to a restaurant. We're not breaking the rules here. This was a while ago. I don't even think the Duffy's are open right now.
They're not open. Yeah, they're going to be opening the ones in Miami, I think, soon. I got a little message on that. And so I'll be ordering Uber Eats cupcakes soon. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right. So you make no apologies for the cupcakes.
I mean, I don't even know where you're coming. Of what do you speak, sir?
All right.
Challenging
Dr.
me to
Chuck
duel?
Metzger. Crazily, a board-certified internist in Boca Raton. As hard as this is to believe, a board-certified internist in Boca Raton who's been the team doctor for FAU Athletics and the chief of medicine at Boca Raton Regional Hospital. He's a big fan of candy. He enjoys making his own cupcakes. He is single and ready to mingle. I don't even know what that means. He is a clinical affiliate faculty member for FAU Medical School. He's in private practice in Boca, and you can follow him on Twitter at Chuck Metzger. Thank you, Dr. Chuck.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys. All right.
Always enjoy our time with him. Always enjoy a little. I had forgotten that we played that last week till all the texts started coming in. You've got to ask him about this. Couldn't let him off the phone without asking.
He talked me into it, though. I'm telling you.
Oh, it's so ridiculous. You'd feel ridiculous ordering then waiting for it. Not if you were with your kid, by the way. Like,
now I know. You know, someday I can take my kid and we can do it with my kid. So that'll be my way in. You know.
But if you were at Duffy's with me, Solana, and Dan. Like, you'd feel ridiculous when they drop this little kid's plate in front of you. With
not really,
because
I feel like Solana would order his own. I wouldn't feel so left out.
That's true. Solana would probably have some gummy bears in his pocket.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I would say my suggestion to everyone is don't get chlamydia.
It's Figgy.
Cinema. Jay Fig knows it.
Hey, guys. I didn't know you guys were there. Caught me by surprise.
Watch one that we assign her and generally hate it, and it sends us all into a depression for at least a segment or two.
I fall off an open banana in my tailpipe.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Like, it has, like, real-life situations and stuff, but I felt like the ending should have been in the middle.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear. When I do, it's usually something unusual.
I don't know, I was kind of irritated the entire time.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads.
Biggie Fresh.
The f***ing Catalina wine mixer.
I really want to give it like a 9.5 out of 10.
And it sends us all into a depression.
Show me the money.
He's looking at you, kid.
I'll be back.
We'll see you at the movies. Let's go. 5 o'clock, Funky Buddha happy hour. Hockman and Crowder simulcast. I'm going to be off for a couple of days after today, so I'm going to leave Figgy and Dan in the hands of Solana and Dono, but we're going to go out swinging here.
I'll miss you.
Some searing pain movie reviews. Searing pain, Solana!
Oh, searing pain! Absolute searing pain!
All right, you hear the big intro there for Jay Fig, Jen Figueroa, our resident movie expert, tracking movies. I don't know, do something like that for the next time.
Yeah.
We give Jay Fig movies to watch. She reviews them. She puts them on her Instagram feed. And by the way, it's not just movie reviews anymore. There's it's almost Napoleon Dynamite-ish, right? There's nothing really going on, but there's a lot going on, you know? So if you follow her on Instagram, it's JFig Radio, letter J, F-I-G Radio, JFig Radio. You will find out on today's movie review, she has learned how to use the slow motion feature. And so you get some delightful videos of JFig in slow motion. So how was your weekend, Figgy?
It was good. I was home the mostly and cleaning.
Yeah. You getting bored? Obviously, this is since March. We've all mostly been at home and blah, blah, blah. Are you starting to get cabin fever?
I mean, I was cleaning, so that's a sign. It's a clear sign.
That's a pretty good sign that, yes, I'm bored. I spent today cleaning out my air filters because I was
voluntarily
bored. Yeah, me too. All right, so the movies that we gave her on Friday, I gave her Meatballs with Bill Murray. And was it Dono you were doing the show Friday? You gave her Weekend at Bernie's?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Weekend at Bernie's and Solana, 51st Dates, of course. And Dan Day gave her Pirate Radio, something that I don't think any of us had ever seen. And what movie did you select this weekend, Figgy?
So me and Dan are the only ones that have seen Pirate Radio.
Oh, so you watch Pirate Radio. Wow. All right. So yes. Now, why, out of all the movies we gave you, just out of curiosity, why Pirate Radio?
I mean, pirates are cool, and I work in radio.
Right. Is it about pirates, though?
There you go. No, it's not about pirates.
You'll find out. You'll find out.
I can guarantee you it's not about pirates, but there you go.
They live like pirates.
Good reasoning. It's very strong reasoning by Jay Fig. So what is your review?
So basically the entire movie is just the power of rock and roll. And then the fact that for a long time they were not allowed to play it on the radio. So then they went to the ocean since it's not on land or anything. And no one could tell them what to do over there. So then they had a whole radio station on the boat and it was really cool.
I love your explanations more than because it's like a puzzle. It's like, and then when she starts... When she starts her review,
sometimes.
Yeah, when she starts
it's
her review,
you freak me out.
I'm always like, "Huh, is this going to be a 10-piece puzzle or is this going to be a 1,000-piece puzzle?"
It's a 300 puzzle.
Yeah, today was a 1,000-piece puzzle. They couldn't do radio, so they went into the ocean. It sounded almost like a mermaid movie. What, Dan? When you listen to her description there of the movie, does it remind you of the movie?
Your time arc is crazy. Like, you start in the middle, and then you go to the end, then you go to the beginning, then you throw in little tidbits that are really inconsequential. It confused me for a while.
Good.
Like, right, like,
did
I
you
picture,
watch the movie?
I picture you as a person, like, if I watched a movie with you, at the end of the movie, you would say something... That is, I think Dan nailed it there. Like the most inconsequential thing of the movie, and you'd be fixated on it, and I'd be like, "What?"
That really is me, though.
Yeah, yeah, Dan, I think you nailed it on that one. All right, so how many mozzarella sticks did you give Pirate Radio?
I gave it a 7.9 out of 10.
Yes, nice.
7.9 mozzarella sticks out of 10.
Try all biting right. into that.
Aha, very hey. Well done. Does that sound like a good score, Dan? Is that appropriate?
Yeah, especially for someone that's in radio, because we know all the little behind the scenes and all of our quirky personalities. It really kind of speaks to us. Now, if you're outside of radio, you might give it less mozzarella sticks.
All right, that's fair enough. I appreciate that. So Jay Fig is now going to be assigned movies for tonight. Unfortunately, maybe tomorrow I'll be able to jump on in the last segment, but I'm off tomorrow. But there are some significant movie anniversaries today, Jay Fig. I'm going to read a few to you. Have you ever seen, I tweeted this out earlier and I got mad love because I called it a Hall of Fame banger. Coming to America was released in theaters today. In 1988. Have you ever seen that?
I have.
Okay. I thought we had gone over that with you. Yeah. Eddie Murphy. Yeah. That is a classic. That's it. You like that movie, right?
I did.
Okay. Now, on this day in 1984, the Tom Hanks movie Bachelor Party debuted in theaters. I suggested that to you once, but you did not watch it, right?
Yeah, no. Okay. I have not seen it.
I'm thinking I may resuggest it today.
I think it's because I couldn't find it anywhere.
In 1995, Apollo 13 was released to theaters.
Love
have you seen
movie.
That?
No, have not seen
you know,
it.
You know, that's one of my top five movies of all time, Dono. Like, literally.
All-time banger. It's up
one
there for me.
One of my favorite movies of all time. time. My wife and kid think I'm insane for the number of times I watched that movie. You know what I did? I couldn't sleep last night. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. So now I'm just using like the Comcast search. Like I'm searching for movies that are popping into my head. And I watched some Glengarry Glen Ross till I fell asleep. You ever watched that?
You know, I've never seen that. No, I've seen that famous scene, the set of steak knives thing, but yes. I've never seen the full movie.
Such a great movie.
Only closers get coffee.
Right. Coffee's for closers, Dan. Coffee's for closers. Apollo 13. You've never seen that, Figgy.
No, I don't believe so.
Wow. Okay, I'm giving you that one. That was released in theaters on this day in 1995. That is Tom Hanks in that movie. Kevin Bacon is in that movie. Ed Harris is in that movie. Who else am I missing?
Bill Paxton.
Bill, he is?
Yes.
Google never
lies. Bill Paxton's in them?
Google does not lie.
Huh. Bill Paxton's in the... Oh, yeah, he is in that movie.
He played Fred.
And what's the other guy? I can't think of it. Gary Sinise, right?
Isn't I love Gary. Yeah, he was in Mission Control, right?
Yes, yes, yes. That's one of my favorite movies of all time. Of all time!
Searing Pain, Solana.
Yeah, I didn't know. I kind of left it up there. Nobody. All right, I'm suggesting Apollo 13 with Tom Hanks, okay?
Okay.
All right, Dono, what are you going to give Jay Figg for tonight?
I am so excited to actually recommend a new movie for Jay Figg. This just dropped on Netflix three nights ago.
Oh, my God. If you're going to tell me that you watched this Will Ferrell movie, I'm going to punch you in the face.
And Hawk, no lie, I cried a little bit at the end.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
I'm dead serious. And if you watch it, you'll understand. Eurovision Song Contest.
So bad that I was angry that I watched The Coming Attraction.
Had you ever heard of Eurovision before this? Because I've been watching Eurovision for like 10, 15 years. It's a European song competition. It's probably 20 times bigger than like the biggest seasons of American Idol. It's gigantic. They made a movie about it. It's Will Ferrell doing an Icelandic accent for 2 hours. Rachel McAdams really steals the show, although I don't think it's really her singing. I think she has like a voice double. But I'm telling you, first 20 minutes of the movie were kind of rough. Like, I thought I might not be able to sit through this, but, yeah, I was watching it with my family, so we sat through it, and it gets really good, really funny, and without giving too much away, the song that is performed at the end, if this doesn't win the Academy Award for Best Song in a Movie, I will be very angry. It'll be, I'm telling you, the
Whoa,
song at the end is so
praise.
Good. I shed some tears at the end of this movie. I right. never
Maybe
thought
I'll...
I would.
Maybe I'll watch this because my wife and kid and I are looking for something to watch. So, but it looked to me like one of these hacky Will Ferrell movies again. So,
the first 20 minutes, I thought I was gonna like. I almost suggested to my family, "Let's turn this off. This is bad." But we kept it on. It gets a lot better.
All right, Solana. What are you going to give for Jay Figg in a very wordy and uncomfortable fashion?
Jay Figg, I know you appreciate history, and of course you appreciate American history. American history, very important here in America.
I'm so over you.
The Civil War, obviously, a landmark war here in the United States. And there's
a
movie.
That's a landmark war.
Landmark war?
we're running out of time here. Can't really dive All into right. The nuances of the Civil
quick,
War.
Quick, quick, quick.
this movie also released on this day in 1999. It's about the Civil War. It's unbelievable. It will drive you to tears with Will Smith, Wild Wild West.
All right, there you go. Truly one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. I was
so
excited.
No.
I was so excited for that movie when it came out and they had the hit song, and that movie is so god awful. What the hell are robots doing in the Wild Wild West? Can someone explain this to me?
I mean,
all right, Wild Wild West with Will Smith. Have you heard of that? Have you seen it?
No, you said Will Smith?
Yeah, what more do you need? Robots, the Civil War, Wild Wild West, a banger. I mean, it's everything.
It's Wild Wild West from 1999. Don't go back and look at like the 1950s Wild Wild West. All right. All right, and Dan Day, go ahead, gift us with something creepy.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Oh, you're sticking with the radio theme. Sticking with the radio theme. I like it.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm done.
You ever heard of that, Fig? Good morning, Vietnam?
I think you guys suggested this one time.
Yeah, we may have. That's with Robin Williams. Yeah. All right. Yeah. It's an excellent movie.
Got it.
All right. So your suggestions today are Apollo 13, Eurovision Song Contest with Will Ferrell on Netflix.
So good.
Wild Wild West with Will Smith. And Good Morning Vietnam with Robin Williams. All right. Are you ready to accept your challenge?
I am ready.
Well, then there's nothing left for us to say other than we'll see
you
at the movies. Happy National Waffle Iron Day, Figgy.
I love waffles.
Who doesn't? All right, follow her on Instagram, JFigRadio. JFigRadio. Again, if you were confused by her movie review that she gave us, they started on the land, then they went to the ocean. I don't know what happened, but you can get more explanation, we hope, on her Instagram page at JFigRadio. All right, that's going to do it for us. I'm off tomorrow and Wednesday. Dono and Solana and Jay Fig and Dan Day will be there. And blah, blah, blah. Thank you to all our guests, Calvin Hughes and Dr. Chuck Metzger and Mike Inglis. And everybody have a great and safe night. And Dono and Solana will speak with you mañana.
Pandas can poop up to 40 times a day.
Oh, I love the feeling of complete evacuation.
Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind.
You need to need
that's all, folks.
You need to need.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.